I see it. I see the weekend on the horizon, Vince Ferrara. Starting off hour number three of Sports 180. I mean, just hit the cruise control button, right? Get ready for a holiday weekend. I got a couple of nice. I don't know, because I don't think you partake in the adult beverages, correct?
No.
Okay.
Nope.
One thing is I stopped by one of the stores. I've been trying all of the hard seltzers. I've literally tried every single brand, and I'm on the last one, and it's the Corona brand. I've heard a lot of good things. Had a blueberry, I think it's blueberry, maybe it's blackberry lime. It's pretty good yesterday. Yeah. So, Yeah, it's getting closer and closer to 5 o'clock.
I like the fact that you're willing to spread your wings and try new things versus just going to the same go-to.
Yeah, exactly. So I like to expand my horizons, try different brands, and then settle into something nice. So we'll see. Hopefully everybody has a great weekend, a safe weekend coming up this July 4th, and everybody just is smart health-wise and with fireworks. So a lot of safety precautions to be taken earlier or throughout the whole weekend. One thing that happened this week is Barry Rice was on our airwaves talking about putting together the Johnny Majors documentary. It's going to air tonight at 8 o'clock. It's basically a Tennessee takeover and a Johnny Majors takeover of ESPNU. So super exciting. Go ahead and right now set your DVRs, especially if you're going to like go out and catch some fireworks tonight. You definitely don't want to miss it. But Barry Rice on Sports Talk earlier talking about how they were able to come up with the concept, a major player in coming up with this concept to put this documentary together, and how in the world he whittled down 5 hours of an uncut documentary to only a 1 hour that is going to air tonight. So Barry Rice from BFL Films on Sports Talk earlier this week.
Two big questions there. How did it come about? I'll tell you, it was pretty instantaneous. We found out Coach Majors passed on June 3rd, and I got that evening a Zoom meeting invite from Coach Fulmer, and in the morning, so the next morning on the 4th, I tuned in, and it was loaded with players and coaches and people that loved him, and the point of it was Coach Fulmer, you know, was saying, what can we do to honor this guy? Because the quick answer was, well, we all remember what we did when John Ward passed 2 years ago. Let's do that. And that would have been great if there wasn't a coronavirus motion. So it, in a little bit of a way, it felt like it kind of, you know, cut us off at the pass. Like, oh, no, well, you know, what can we do? And that was the question. It was about an hour-long call. And finally we said, well, we can try to call ESPN and try to do a documentary, you know, see what happens. So that was how it got started. And things were up in the air, but there was not time to really sit and wonder, you know, would we end up on ESPN or how would it be? There were too many questions. So all we could do is just get to work, which we did. And I tell you, it was it's amazing when I say that it was less than a month ago that Zoom call happened. And we're sitting here with an hour-long documentary for ESPN inside of a month. It was amazing. It was great teamwork by everyone, from the people on that Zoom call to the Ball Network to VFL Films. It definitely took all hands on deck.
Barry, talk about the content selection process, because I imagine that the cutting room floor would be awfully entertaining as well.
Oh, it was a bloodbath. It was a bloodbath because as an editor, you fall in love with these moments, particularly when it's a tribute to someone you love. And again, we didn't know where we were going to air, how we were going to air. So, well, frankly, my first cut was 5 hours. And just because I'm weird, I loved it. But I knew nobody would sit through 5 hours. I got it down to about a two-hour cut and really felt like this is the cut. This is what I want the world to see. This shows Coach Major's personality. It, you know, really shows the man I knew. Well, through no fault of their own, it's just the way things happen. ESPN could only accept an hour. So the floor just, you know, the edit room floor just got to be a disaster area. in about a day, I took my 2 hour and made it into one, and I was shedding some tears there because I just thought, oh, you can't cut this. You can't possibly cut this. And then we cut it. And, you know, and I feel bad, and I don't know if any of them are out there listening, but we had several former players come in, give us their time, tell us their favorite stories. And my two-hour version had a lot of that. But, frankly, a lot of the stories and things like that got cut away in the process of making a documentary that not only told the story of Johnny Majors, but the idea was, let's tell the story as told by Johnny Majors. So there just wasn't as much space for personal recollections and things like that. But fear not, we are thinking about a way to maybe release an uncut version down the road that people can then see what we saw.
Hopefully that'll be available for digital download and Blu-ray, DVD, whatever player you have. That was Barry Rice from VFL Films. VFL Films just does an incredible job on the day-to-day, so I can't even imagine how good this documentary is going to be tonight. And the fact that a lot of big names, including one of our favorites, Stirl the Pearl, is going to be on. Charles Davis also on as well. Talking about Johnny Majors, and I just can't wait to see what they put together, Vince.
Yeah, you know it's going to be first class. And one of the things that Barry mentioned in John and I's conversation with him is that the ESPN through the SEC Network, they didn't tell him or micromanage him what they wanted in there. And he said it never happens to where you basically get creative control. They basically said, hey, go with it, and he submitted it to them, and he said, that never happens. So that's an even better, I think, validation that this is going to be absolutely first class. And then, as you would expect, he said it was a bloodbath, that cutting room floor of all that extra content. And
it's,
you're right,
hard.
Everyone's going to want to get their hands on that content because there's so much that will be worthy of being in there that just for the time limit can't get in there.
Yeah, and for the people that are just diehards, you know, that would want to see every single second of it, like Barry was talking about, that would be so hard to take your bias and your fandom out of the process and have to go through that whittling down. I just can't even imagine how difficult that was.
And another layer of it, it's not just footage that they can show. It's reactions from all the different people that they're able to interview. And some of those reactions and perspectives that are so unique and special, he wasn't able to get a lot of those in there as well. So those are really unique and things that people are going to want to hear that maybe they hadn't heard before. But it just shows you. Coach, player, there's so many different layers to Johnny Majors' career and life that an hour doesn't do him any sort of close to justice. So, but it will be special to see that tonight.
Yeah, and if we are getting into the month of August and we still don't have like the outline of what college football is going to look like, and maybe you have some delays, and maybe college football ends up starting later, we're going to need that release, okay? We're going to need the two-hour or three-hour version of the documentary, so I'll just go ahead and put that on Tennessee's radar. Just, you'll have to give us that nugget so we'll have some football to talk about.
Yeah, and I think there's a lot of that preparation, unfortunately, that at least is running through the minds of people just in case, and let's hope we don't get to that.
We'll catch you up on a couple things going on around the sports world. We'll also talk some Tennessee recruiting, something we did with Will Shelton of Game Day on Rocky Top. Star-studded recruiting staff right now getting a lot of love this offseason from all different kinds of publications, so we'll go over some of that. And then we'll have the Power Poll to close out today's show. It's a jam-packed last 45 minutes of Sports 180 on the Sports Animal.
If you don't listen to Sports 180, you can't hear me right now. Now back to Josh and Heather.
From the lakes of Minnesota to the hills of Tennessee, across
Everybody getting ready for this beautiful holiday weekend. We hope the weather stays great wherever you are and everybody is safe. And we'll be back on Monday at noon with another edition of Sports 180. And we'll see what happens over the weekend. As this is just a day-to-day month there. Vince Ferrara, we're waiting on the return of MLS, which will be just, I think, 10 days away by the time we're back on the airwaves, or less than 10
days. July 8th. Yeah, July 8th, next week. Yep.
Yeah, okay, so July 8th will be the return of MLS. And then you'll have the NBA restart from the bubble down in Orlando on the horizon, and Major League Baseball a week after that. So it's a big month. We'll see if everything stays on track. Some things that haven't stayed on track: Kansas having to push the stop button on their voluntary workouts after COVID-19 testing spike with the players. So Les Miles and his Jayhawks have stopped the voluntary workouts for the next 14 days. And then everybody will be retested throughout that period to see if they're able to start back up in 2 weeks. But Vince Ferrara, you also saw some COVID-19 related NFL news.
Yeah, the Green Bay Packers put out a press release today saying that they have shared initial plans for significantly reduced capacity if fan attendance is permitted. Season ticket holders will be asked to opt in or opt out for their season tickets in the 2020 season. And they said, although the organization remains optimistic, there is a possibility that Lambeau Field will be unable to host fans for games this season. They said the team's preparing to have fans in attendance with new policies and safety measures to allow for appropriate social distancing, which will require the stadium seating capacity to be significantly reduced. Face coverings also will be required, and other necessary precautions will be in place. As a result, the special experience to which fans are accustomed at Lambeau Field will look and feel very different. So there's more to it, but basically this is one of the early NFL franchises that has gone down this path of, hey, we're not going to have a full stadium capacity here. The NFL has been very positive, upbeat, and not wanting to put too many of those scenarios out there. But they're talking more of a realistic possibility that there are no fans as opposed to a full stadium. And those seem like what the scenarios are. And that opt-out, opt-in approach is one that you may see in pro and college sports, to where to eliminate those that don't want to be in the equation, you can opt out and not lose your season ticket spot for this very unique 2020 season and get it back. And then they can try to divide up the pool of those that want to be in the mix for tickets. No, they're still trying to work out how that would happen, but at least it's the NFL being a little bit more realistic now than what we've seen in the past. And, you know, we're getting closer to the season, and it's kind of, the numbers have gone the wrong direction. So those are some of the factors in that.
I do like the NFL's approach, though, is they're going to let each individual team decide on if they sell tickets or not, or how many tickets they actually end up selling. Because, again, when you look at some of the different areas where teams are located, it's complete night and day story. I mean, where the Panthers are is not any sort of, it's not anywhere near the conversation of what teams in New York are dealing with, or what teams in Seattle, the team in Seattle is dealing with. I mean, it's just kind of night and day. So the NFL commissioner, Roger Goodell, leaving those decisions up to each individual club, I think, is the right decision to make.
I think so. And each one of them has maybe unique circumstances and percentage of season tickets versus single game tickets, and how they can social distance within. Everybody's got a different layout, different plan. And another thing I liked about the opt out is there's not inherent pressure for those season ticket holders to feel like, hey, I have to try to be in the mix for tickets this year because I don't want to lose a potential spot as a season ticket holder in the future. This gives them an easy out, no pressure to have to lose their spot because you get it right back moving forward. And especially with an organization like the Packers and others that have long waiting lists just to get in for it, that's a smart business approach for their fans to do the opt-in, opt-out setup.
It's so crazy that we're celebrating two just incredible new stadiums this year in the NFL, and there, and especially one of them, there might not be fans for either team that plays there in regards to SoFi. Did you see the pictures released earlier this week of the 70,000 square foot Jumbotron that is now in the stadium completed?
I did not. I heard it was amazing. But I will.
It is incredible. I mean, that stadium is just amazing. And then the Allegiant Stadium in Vegas, I've only seen like outdoor aerials of it. It just looks so awesome. Like,
yeah.
What a year. It's just so disappointing. You spend all that money, you create these beautiful places to play in, and might not even get to do that this year. It's just, was it Larry Fitzgerald last year at the beginning of camp when he said Emmanuel Sanders, I think he was like, we're just in a whole world of suck right now. Those comments just reverberate through my brain on the daily. So yeah, just kind of stinks, but hopefully a lot of people had the day off and they're enjoying a nice 3-day weekend.
Small victories at this point,
exactly.
Heather, as we try to make the most of the second half of 2020.
we asked the other day, who would you want to give you, when it was July 1st, like, who would you want to give you the halftime speech for the year? Who would be your go-to halftime speech giver there, Vince Ferrar? I know I put you on the spot. I said Tim Tebow. I said, I need something inspiring. You know, he's an inspirational figure. He totally transformed the season at Florida with his fiery speech. I would take a Tim Tebow speech right now.
Historically, how about Johnny Majors?
Oh, there you go. There you go.
Yeah. Because he'll give it to you real. And, it, you know, just like you've heard in many of the promos that we play on the Sports Animal, attack, 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 and
keep attacking also, 2020.
That's right. And have fun. And that's a little reminder that yes, this sucks for a lot of people, and many people have unfortunate circumstances. But just from a mental health standpoint, at least try to enjoy your life as much as you can while trying to work your way through the challenges of it as well, and be smart too. That's another thing that he was big in, attention to detail. We have to have attention to detail during his time. So first name that comes to mind historically would be Johnny Majors.
I like that. John Wilkerson also with a VFL reference, Al Wilson. He said, give me an Al Wilson halftime speech for the 2020 bummer of a year. That would definitely get you fired up. I could definitely believe in that one as well. So halfway through the year, we'll see how the second half goes. It's all a guessing game there, Vince Ferrar. We'll also tell you about a decision, a vote from the NFLPA coming up next. We're getting you ready for Sports Talk. That is on the horizon today, coming up at 3 o'clock. John Wilkerson will join us before that, though, for today's Power Poll. We'll be back with more Sports 180 this Friday edition of Sports 180 on the Sports Animal.
Hey, I'm Ball for Life, Bobby Scott, and we're counting it down. It's just
64 days until
it's football time in Tennessee.
This Sports Radio WNML countdown to kickoff is brought to you by Knoxville TVA Employees Credit Union. Find out more at tvacreditunion.com.
Go on!
What I tell everyone, I was born by God's dear grace.
Saw just a few minutes ago from Tom Pelissero, covers the NFL for the NFL Network. With the NFLPA still opposed to preseason games, they voted earlier this week to play no preseason games, even though the schedule had been altered and the NFL had gone ahead and proposed playing two games. NFLPA wants no preseason games, and Tom Pelissero points out that one possible camp schedule the union has discussed would be 3 days of medical checks, testing, and getting your equipment, 21 days of strength and conditioning. It would be 10 days of unpadded practice, and then 14 days of practice with 10 max 8 padded practices. So, and then it would be straight into week one. When you look at that on the surface there, Vince Ferrara, is that good? Because I think those preseason games are a nice warm-up to work on things for the season and finalize your squad, you know, especially those camp guys that usually will get a nod, at least in the early part of the season. That would be a gone opportunity for them.
Absolutely. A number of things come to mind. One is you're now asking for pretty sloppy football well into the season.
Yeah.
Because you're not going to have the physicality that you typically do. I mean, these training camps start often in late July, and you're doing contact pretty early. And so to go from that to 14 days, 10 max and 8 padded, wow, that's a significant drop in the norm. Now, you have a longer extended period of time with the ramp up. There's a little similarity to college football, only there's a lot less contact here for the NFL. Plus, you're eliminating all of the preseason games. Another thing that comes to mind is that it's going to be awfully difficult, as you mentioned, to try to figure out who your players are on your team. So you're probably going to have guys that are the wrong players cut from a team. They're not going to be able to evaluate those players quite as well. And then another factor is that you're also not only taking away the preseason games to evaluate those players, but these teams often do scrimmages with one another. And you know those are going away, where you bring in another team to scrimmage.
Yep,
those
yep.
are on top of the preseason games. So you're going potentially
from no scrimmages, yeah.
Right. So you're going from, say, if they do 2 a year and 4 preseason games, you're going from 6 to 0. Look, whatever you have to do to make sure we have football, it's not going to be perfect, but we're starting to see the early impacts of this football season. But for a while, the NFL was able to avoid. We're starting to see that it's inevitable that there's going to be changes to. And look, I wouldn't even rule out pushing back the early part of the season if they need more time. I think we're getting closer to that when you're eliminating the preseason altogether, which is not a shock, but it's a reality now.
I sort of get it because they want the minimum exposure and try to be as safe as possible. So eliminating 4 preseason games would kind of coincide with that. But in regards to job opportunity, which the NFLPA is definitely supposed to take very much into consideration, and the fact that the starters don't play the whole time anyway. I mean, this is really just an opportunity for you to sharpen your skills and then get the next man in. I'm just kind of surprised by this vote by the Players Association to eliminate all of the preseason games.
And if there's not an accompanying 1-year extension to the rosters and the active players, I think this is going to be tough for the Players Association. Because I understand what you're trying to accomplish, but you're going to have people that are going to be without jobs that normally would be able to earn those jobs and then may not have outlets to get back because maybe people are hesitant to bring in someone else in from the outside. So we got to see how that plays out. I mean, look at Bruce Arians bringing up the scenario that he may need to keep a quarantine quarterback or two, because if his quarterback, Tom Brady, gets COVID or somebody else in the quarterback room, that he could have all of his quarterbacks unavailable because of COVID. And now how can you go into a game without a quarterback? So you need to have somebody on standby that's not with the rest of those. So all of these scenarios are coming into play, but I think the NFL needs to expand the roster. Now, you may say, well, that's just going to increase the chances with more players, more chances of somebody
But you're seeing
it,
Major League Baseball do it. Yeah, you're seeing
yes,
Major League Baseball
absolutely.
Do it.
I'm just saying somebody would bring that up as a detraction to that, but I don't think so because of the regular testing you're going to have. To me, a bigger thing is the players, what they do in keeping themselves safe outside of the facility more so than the facility.
I think it's interesting you say that because this morning I was reading, per sources, ESPN.com was reporting that the NFL is looking at a fine structure for behavior that would put you at risk of contracting the virus. So a fine system could be enacted. I don't know if that's ethical to do. I don't know what the ramifications of instituting a policy like that. It's almost like an honor code that you would not put yourself in a like party-like atmosphere or have the risky behavior that you've seen happen on some of the college campuses. Where you would be, you know, quarantining with your family, or if you're a single guy. I mean, don't forget, like, not everybody in the NFL is married and a family man and loves being at home. There's a lot of single guys that are dating and have different relationships and different habits. And so it's really hard to kind of put your finger on what exactly the NFL can do and can't do in regards to coming up with a fine structure for behavior they deem as risky.
Yeah, because the NFL is not doing a bubble. So you are depending on them to make these quality, these decisions in the betterment of the league. You know, we had Dan Lust on, who is an attorney and sports legal analyst, yesterday on Sports Talk, and you and I had talked to him about a month ago, and he was talking about some of these waivers that schools and even the NFL are asking people to sign, and he mentioned the Buckeye Agreement, and what that is, it's not you can't sue us necessarily, it's, hey, here are the things that are your responsibility, here are the things that are our responsibility, and it just shows that this has to be a dual, a unifying type of
the school can only do so much. Yeah,
right.
I do
you
think
still
it
have
was
to hold your part.
A little bit of a CYA movement on Ohio
sure.
State's part. I mean, they're trying
no question.
To get out of any sort of liability if someone contracts the virus and gets deathly sick. I mean, I can imagine there's a lot of liability there for college campuses, just like any entity. I mean, I would imagine there's a lot of businesses, and that's why you've seen extended work from home stays for a lot of corporations around the country, because if somebody contracts it, what kind of liability does the business have?
Exactly. And one of the things he pointed out that I think is very important is that there are different types of waivers that these schools are asking kids to sign, and even the NFL to their fans. But they're not, it doesn't eliminate their risk of being sued. It will just decrease the number of suits that could be attempted to be brought to them. So that is really the biggest thing you accomplish. You're never going to have 100% immunity and no one can put in any legal actions towards you. It's to minimize what some of those claims would be against you. And there's the wording varies on what each school or league can cover during that. People will still try the litigation, but they're just trying to, as you mentioned, CYA as much as you can in the circumstances.
I remember the I know Dak Prescott caught a lot of heat for it. Remember, he threw a birthday party for a friend, right? Ezekiel Elliott attended that birthday party. It looked like it was more than 10 people that was recommended at the time by the governor of Texas. And, I mean, the internet just absolutely blew up with it. TMZ had all the pictures from the party. You know, if that happens during the season and the NFL, whatever number they come up with, and they prove, oh, you did have a party, you were around this many people, that could be deemed some of that finable behavior.
And then who's determining this? Is this Raj is this going to end up on Raj's desk?
Oh, for sure. That's what he wants.
He's going to be the one?
Yeah, that's what he wants. I mean, he's judge, jury, and executioner, man. The buck starts and stops with him.
Yeah. And there'll be lots of disputes. Just like you mentioned the Dak case, they'll say, no, this wasn't this, and there'll be dispute. And how do you have to do an investigation over a fine to determine he said, or he said, she said?
Yeah.
It can get pretty messy, and who knows how many of those. Are they going to have too many of those instances to rule on? How long does it take to do that? So... And some of it could be, hey, I went to see family, and now do you get into the, hey, we'll let this exception slide. I get what the NFL is trying to do, but that's not going to be cut and dry. It could get messy.
It's a weird world right now, Vince. We're all just living in it, trying to survive day to day. A look at the Rocket Mortgage Classic leaderboard before we go to break. Webb Simpson up 7 spots with another birdie. He's now 3 under for the day through 6 holes, 7 under for the tournament. So he is currently tied for 18th with Knoxville's own Scott Stallings. A nice even Steven round right now for Scott Stallings. He is even through 6 holes, so he is still at 7 under. We'll see when he is poised to make a move and see if he can get on the birdie train. But Scott Stallings still tied for 18th at 7 under. We'll be back with our final segment of Sports 180. John Wilkerson set to join the program. Sports talk is on the horizon, but we'll have our power poll coming up next.
Because we have a transmitter and you don't. 99.1, the sports animal.
Driving down the street today, I saw a sign for lemonade. Were the cutest kids I'd ever seen in this front yard. As they handed me my glass, smiling, thank you.
A little clarity
myself.
Coming out over the Mike Gundy at Oklahoma State pay cut there, Vince Ferrara. You saw on the Twitterverse a little more in-depth look at that pay restructure?
Yeah, Brent McMurphy from Stadium says that it was a review of Mike Gundy, an internal review after the whole Chuba Hubbard situation, saying that he would not partake in any other OSU activities after the Mike Gundy T-shirt situation. So Gundy not only took that pay cut that we mentioned earlier, it was about $1 million annually. Is that right, Heather?
Yes.
Mentioned earlier. In addition to that, his contract was shortened from a 5-year rollover to 4 years with that pay cut, and it is stemming from an internal review. So a little bit different in context versus volunteering just to give back. This was Oklahoma State saying, hey, this isn't acceptable, and we need to do this. And I'm sure Gundy had to work with them on it, and they made those alterations.
That's a big penalty. I mean, that's very significant. I would put that label on it.
And he made over $5 million in 2019. So that year is noteworthy because it's not only $1 million per year for the 4 years, it's losing the full $5 million for the extra year that he loses. So that's
close
about
to $10 million, yeah.
Right, yep. And when you add it all up, it's close to $10 million. That's right.
Golly, that is just crazy. So definitely research what T-shirts you're going to wear, college football coaches.
Yeah.
You might end up costing yourself a lot of money in the long run, but we'll see what happens with Gundy. I mean, you know, the results kind of speak for themselves. I mean, he has had some great results at Oklahoma State. But right now, with the situation going on around the country and how much backlash I don't know how to say it properly, I don't think, but just the amount of backlash that you can get for a misstep right now, very big. I mean, everybody's kind of really got to be walking the line to make sure that they're covering all their bases.
Yeah, without a doubt. In so many different areas, in players, how they handle themselves, coaches, what they say, and It's a different world right now, and just a lot of different factors involved in so many different fronts. It's tough. Be nice to talk about actual games at some point again.
Great. Yeah, are you going to be all in on the MLS restart here in less than a week or right around a week?
100%. John and I talked to Stuart Holden, a lead match analyst for Fox Sports, and their soccer coverage. Their games start July 11th in that MLS is back tournament, which I think will be very exciting. And Stuart was awesome. If you go to our podcast on our website, listen to that. Just an incredible insight and enthusiasm. So, yeah, July 8th is when it starts on ESPN. Multiple networks, ESPN, Fox, and Univision all working together to broadcast these together, which is really, really unique. And, yeah, I can't wait. I'm totally going to be in.
That's cool. I'm excited for the times that it's going to be on. I think it's going to be very accessible for a lot of people to be able to tune in, which is something that I need. And I don't need to like try to remember when things are going to be on and what channel it's going to be on. I mean, when you have a good idea of, hey, we're going to play every single day at this and this time, that you just go ahead and set your DVR and then you turn on the TV and get to consume it, especially early in the morning. That'll be nice.
Yeah, 9 a.m., 8 p.m., and 10:30 p.m., I think, are the three regular times. And you're right, that's smart marketing to where fans know what to expect. And, hey, we all want sports on our TV, especially during the day when you don't see much of it.
I think the biggest news of the day is that the Washington Redskins are looking into changing their name. Now everybody is putting out odds on what the Redskins will actually change it to. I know that Sports Illustrated, one of their writers, has come up with his top five Washington Redskins new monikers that could happen. John Wilkerson joins the program now. John, are you surprised that it looks like Washington, the days are numbered of how long they'll be known as the Redskins?
Yeah, it on two fronts. Today, as of today, no, it's not a surprise. But it is surprising because it has been discussed and brought up so many times over the years. It was one of those things that you couldn't help but think, I'll believe it when I see it. But obviously, things have changed significantly. So I do, I am a bit surprised because from the team, they're the ones this time that are saying it won't be a huge deal.
I stand by stealing Dewey Warren's nickname and naming them the Washington Swamp Rats. I'm riding hard for the Swamp Rats.
Well, see, it's interesting. Anytime there has been something up for an opening, with the exception of when the Jaguars came on board, the NFL's owned the name. I mean, the Titans was an NFL property. Texans were an NFL property. So it will be interesting to see exactly where this goes. I'm a fan of Senators.
The Washington Senators? Yeah, I like that.
Yes. Yeah, even though it's an MLB franchise, I would go with that one. Obviously, though, at times my fandom of quote-unquote Senators is not always positive.
You said a mouthful there, buddy. With that, it's an election year. Get registered to vote. 2016, we're riding out the second half of the year day by day. And with that being said, let's hit today's Power Poll.
Captain, we're losing power in the warp engine.
Nuclear power pants.
What's up? I'm Kenny Powers.
You don't know the power of the dark side.
I have the power!
With great power comes great responsibility.
Full power, Mr. Scott.
The Power Pole, driven by Ted Russell Ford. Two locations to serve you, Kingston Pike and Parkside Drive.
Today is the one and only Tom Cruise's 58th birthday. And in honor of the action superstar's birthday, we're going to rank his top five movies, the top five that we prefer the best. John Wilkerson, go ahead and start us off today.
All right. As far as those that I would put in honorable mention, Risky Business, Born on the 4th of July, Jerry Maguire, Mission Impossible, and Days of Thunder. I would rank mine this way. Number five, I don't think it'll be one that's widely received, but I liked it. And that was Tom and Emily Blunt in Edge of Tomorrow. Number four, go back to the 80s, and that would be All the Right Moves. High School Running Back, Leah Thompson, Girlfriend in the Band, All the Right Moves, number four. For me, number three is Rain Man, number two is Top Gun, and number one, because you and Vince can't handle the truth, A Few Good Men.
Yes. All right, Vince Ferrara.
Well, a couple of the many, many honorable mentions, Days of Thunder, Mission Impossible. Number five, and again, this is my list. This isn't the best and the highest rated of Tom Cruise. This is my list and my favorite. Five, Rain Man. Four, Risky Business. John left it off his list, but so much fun. And then at number three, Jerry Maguire. Clearly Show Me the Money, and that movie was so still so discussed today. Two, Cocktail. Talk about the perfect girlfriend image of a girlfriend when you're growing up and seeing Elizabeth Shue on the beach, please. So
I love your honesty.
That's at number two, and then number one, Top Gun checks all the boxes as Maverick.
All right, my top five, and I've got a couple of honorable mentions. I'm surprised neither of y'all said this, but you know me. I love a good romantic movie. Far and Away, he met Nicole Kidman on that movie set. A lot of chemistry on that movie set. It was a great movie. And Cocktail, those are my two honorable mentions. Number five, because I was the biggest John Grisham fan in the 90s when Tom Cruise made The Firm. Gene Hackman, Gene Triplehorn, oh my gosh, mind-blowing. I think even Ed Harris is in that movie. Just a fantastic movie. So love me some John Grisham and Tom Cruise. Number four is going to be Jerry Maguire. You had me at Hello and Help Me Help You. Number three is going to be A Few Good Men. Number two is Mission Impossible, the first one. Just such an iconic classic movie. And number one, it will always be Lieutenant Pete Mitchell, Top Gun. I'm in love. Bomber jackets.
I'm very impressed.
Aviators.
I thought for sure the big question with your list, Heather, was going to be which Mission Impossible movie didn't make your top five.
Well, which one was it? Was it Ghost Recall or something when he was doing the Malaysian building?
Yes.
Yeah, yeah. Everybody just lost their mind over that. I pass. So that's our top five Tom Cruise movies. I know we're running out of time. John Wilkerson, what's coming up today on Sports Talk?
Well, we are here at Food City on Maynardville Highway in Maynardville for the big ticket. So folks can come by. They can find the super secret word, text it to 68683, and perhaps be one of two finalists that will come from today's registration. And, of course, they have the Q Smoke Meats here at the Maynardville Highway and Maynardville location. You talk about the work being taken out of your 4th of July weekend, they've got it all. And so you can come by, you can take care of two big birds with one stone here at Food City in Maynardville for the Big Ticket 2020 is brought to you by Food City. And we look forward to being joined by Jesse Smithy, a five-star prep. John McClain of the Houston Chronicle will be along at 4:05. Hamer Time is going to be a matinee as he'll join us at 4:35. And then we will have a special presentation of memories from the 95 College World Series Tennessee team. And then our all-star salute to baseball to close out the show. All that and more today on Sports Talk.
All right, one last check. Scott Stallings even through six today, still 7 under for the tournament. So go Scott Stallings. Here comes Sports Talk coming up next on the Sports Animal.